Are you ready to get into the Word? Are you ready to let the Spirit of God speak to you this morning? That wasn't quite as strong, but we're going to get there, okay? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We are going to get into the Word of God and read some stuff. And I pray that as we do, you not only hear me, but you hear what the Spirit is saying to you through His Word. Okay? So it's not just about what I'm saying up here. It's about what God's saying to you through His Spirit. One of the things I think, and I hope you get this morning, that you have to train yourself to hear the Spirit of God. You have to train yourself to know what the Spirit of God is saying to you and how to live that out. Not just read the Bible, okay? You got to learn to understand the Spirit of God, His voice. What does it sound like? How do I know that's the Spirit of God speaking to me? We need to know that, because if we don't, we're just going to end up going off in our own direction. All right, so we need to learn this, okay? So let me begin reading this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 starts out and it says, "So I tell you this and insist." How many would think this is important? Paul is insisting on this in the Lord that you must no longer live the way the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Their thinking was wrong. Their thinking was thinking like the world, the rest of the world, okay? So stop it, he says. I insist you stop doing that. Then it goes on, it says, verse 18, it says, "They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts." Now, would you agree this morning that you have some ignorance in you? Some of you aren't really sure I should answer that question yet or not. We'll work on that, okay? But he says there, because of the ignorance that is in you due to the hardening of their hearts, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way you learned. How many have ever been told that before? I taught you better than that. You know, your parents maybe told you that. You know better than that. Stop it. You're not supposed to do that. You know better than that. All right? How many told your kids that? Maybe you never heard it, but you told your kids that, right? Okay, you didn't have to be taught this, but Paul says in verse 20, "That, however, is not the way you have the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self." He says it again. He says, stop thinking the way you used to think. Now he says, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind or in your thinking, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's an awesome scripture, right? That is a powerful scripture. Let's pray. Lord, teach us. Teach us what your word has to say today. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, Lord God, would stir up our hearts. Lord, that the Spirit of God would enrich your word as it is enlightened to us as we listen to the Spirit today and we hear what the Spirit is saying to each one of us today. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I insist, he says, in the Lord Jesus, that you don't think the way the Gentiles think any longer. Stop it. Have you ever don't get confused, but have you ever thought about the way you think? You know, you ever thought about the way you think, and you're just, how many have just sat there and somebody says, well, what you thinking about? Oh, I don't know. And either you don't want to tell them what you're thinking, or you really have no clue what you're thinking about. You know, and I think sometimes we get there to that point that we just really don't know what we're thinking about. We're just clueless to all the different thoughts that are going through our mind at that particular time. And so when somebody says, I had a friend in high school used to always say, a penny for your thoughts. I'd say, I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, it's kind of like, how do you know all the thoughts that are going through? I'll bet you we don't know all the thoughts that we're thinking. We don't know. We don't understand all of the thoughts we are thinking. But the scripture does say, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So the way you're living your life today is because of the way you thought yesterday. Well, that's a scary thought. The way you're living your life today, you can't blame it on anybody else because the scripture says you are what you're thinking about. You are what you're thinking about. We have to learn to control our mind. We have to learn to control it. It says over in 2 Corinthians 10, it says to bring every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. Now, there's a challenge. Now, here's what he's saying. He goes on, after all of that amazing passage, 17 through 24, then he goes into 25. I don't want to read 25 to you too, because this is cool. Because after he tells us what we're supposed to do, then he begins to tell us some of the things specifically not to do. And some specific things to do. All right? First of all, he says, therefore, each of you put off falsehood. So in some translations, it'll say, stop lying. But in the NIV, it says, put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. So stop telling lies and tell the truth. Okay? That's pretty simple, right? For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Now, what did he say not to do? Sin. He didn't say you couldn't get angry. He just said don't sin. All right? So, here's something else. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. How many know when you give the devil a foothold? He doesn't hesitate, does he? He jumps right in there. Do not give the devil a foothold. 28, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands that they may have something to share with those in need. Okay, now, I didn't count that one as two, but that is two different things. It says don't, you must work and you must be willing to give to those in need. All right, that's two different things, right? Am I reading that right? He says two different things. Work hard so you have something to give. So we're obviously supposed to give and help those in need. 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Zip it, right? None of that ugly talk coming out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Told us over in Ephesians chapter 1 that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. We've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. The enemy cannot get in. Then he goes on, verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind, compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Now that's a lot to think about right there. Now, in that passage right there, verses 25 to 32, there are, I wrote down, so it must be 18 commands now, because I just found another one this morning. 18 commands that you and I are to fulfill. I mean, that's pretty impressive. I'm not even going to ask you if you've been doing them, because probably most of us didn't even know that passage was there. Where did that come from? Right there, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32. Paul insists that we stop living the way we used to. Stop thinking that way. I mentioned earlier, have you ever thought about how you think? Do you realize there was a study done at the Cleveland Clinic for Healthy Brains, real uplifting website if you want to go there. In the Cleveland Clinic for Healthy Brains, there was a study done that shows that you and I individually think around 70,000 thoughts, different thoughts a day. Wonder you're so tired. I mean, that's a lot of thinking. Henry Ford said this. He says, thinking is the hardest work there is, which is why so few people engage in it. Isn't that true? 70,000 thoughts in a 24-hour period. Now, that's the way it's just said. Okay, now it just said a day, so I'm saying 24 hours, okay? Well, now then I had to do some thinking about that. And so I figured, okay, maybe people sleep between 6 and 7 hours a day. Well, do you know how many seconds are in a day? Probably haven't figured that out. I'll tell you, 86,400 seconds in a day. Now remember, 70,000 thoughts, there's 86,000 seconds, 86,400 seconds in a day. Now, if you take 6 hours out of sleep, then you're down to 64,800 seconds in a day. And now you're thinking 70,000 thoughts in 64,000 seconds. Good grief. You're right, Barry. No wonder we're tired. This is so bizarre. I never thought about this kind of stuff before, because it's like, who would have thought? I don't even know how they figure how many thoughts you think. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they think you're thinking while you sleep and you dream. I don't know. Maybe they do. I don't know. But if you take out the 6 hours of sleep, that's 64,800 seconds, and you still are thinking 70,000 thoughts a day. That's a lot of brain power. And the scary thing is you don't always just think your thoughts. You're thinking right now, you're thinking my thoughts, because I'm telling you some crazy figures and you're thinking, nah, that can't be true. And some of you are figuring this all out in your head. You know, okay, there's 60 seconds in a minute and there's 60 minutes in an hour, and you're going through all this in your head. And so you're thinking all these different thoughts because of what I'm saying. We do that all the time. You read a newspaper. You have all kinds of thoughts go through your mind as you're reading that, whoever wrote that article. You're reading a book, and you have all kinds of thoughts going through your mind. You're watching TV, and you have all these thoughts going through your mind, implanted by these things that we're listening to or reading. You have people putting thoughts into your mind, and it's the thoughts that you think that shape the life that you live. So how many would agree that it's important what you listen to, what you read? Because if I don't want to have a negative life, a negative lifestyle, then I need to put a positive thought in my mind. How many would agree that it's important to spend time in the Bible every day? I need to put these thoughts in my mind, because it's these thoughts from the Word of God that are going to shape my life to be more like God. Now we read, whoops, oh my, there goes some more thoughts. All right, it said, they're darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance. How many have heard the phrase, you don't know what you don't know? Okay? You don't know what you don't know, so that's why we get into the Word of God. Now, most of us would probably be really embarrassed if everybody took a stroll through your thoughts, through your life. Well, that's not my thought. How'd that get in there? You see, the sad thing is, in the New King James, Psalms 94, verse 11 says that the Lord knows our thoughts. Then over in Psalms 139, verse 23, why don't you just read that for me, okay? All right, start it out. Search me. Okay. We have thoughts that God knows. Now let's go to the next one in Hebrews chapter 4. Read this one for me. Verse 12 starts out and it says, for the word of God, the Word of God judges our thoughts. It's important what we put into our hearts and into our minds, because our hearts are hardened by our ignorance of the Word of God. And I didn't say that. God did, okay? So I'm not saying you're ignorant. Paul is. So if you're going to be offended because I called you ignorant this morning, just blame Paul. All right? But I do want to give you this consolation here. Is just because we're ignorant in one thing doesn't mean we're ignorant in everything. All right? So you might understand how to get saved, born again. You might be able to lead somebody to the Lord. You might be able to pray the sinner's prayer with them. You might be able to help them in that area. But if it comes to another area, say a faith or healing or finances, we might just shrug our shoulders. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to tell them. So I would say, maybe we might understand salvation, which is good, we need to, and we all know that, but we might be ignorant in the area of faith. How do I walk out this life of faith? I don't walk by sight, I walk by faith. You might be baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues and be ignorant about how to control your tongue. Amen? Or oh me, one or the other. It's yes, we might understand some things in the Bible, but be totally clueless in some of the other areas of life. I was given this example today. He says, I can drive, if you put wheels on it and a steering wheel, I can drive it, pretty much, okay? I can get behind a car or a truck or a bus or a four-wheeler or a side-by-side, a motorcycle. You put wheels on it, I can go. But you put me on a horse and I don't know how to drive it. And some of you are probably thinking, he's ignorant. And I said that this morning and there was a little four-year-old in the back, Ezra. He says, yeah, he is. Because he's raised on a ranch and he knows how to ride a horse already. And it's like, I am guilty. I am guilty. I don't know how to get, I can throw a saddle on the horse, but don't. I won't go any farther than that. I just don't do that because I was not raised that way. So you could say, and I would agree, that I'm ignorant in that. So there's areas where you might understand the Word of God and you might understand what Paul's saying, but there's other areas where we're just plain ignorant. Now, we probably wouldn't use that word because that seems to be an offensive word. Because I've used that word with people before, and I said, well, maybe you're just ignorant. And they looked at me, and they really got mad at me. And I thought, well, guess I better not talk like Paul, because that's what Paul said. In fact, he even said over in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning spiritual gifts. But I would venture to say that there's a lot of us in here today that are ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Well, how do I know if that's God or not? How do I know if I'm really saying what God wants me to say? How do I know that's God leading me to do that? You see, that's why I'm saying sometimes we might understand some things, but we might not understand everything. And so we need to really pay attention to this because it's not necessarily about what we don't know, but it's are we willing to learn it? Yes, I might not know anything about the gifts of the Spirit, but God, I want to learn. Because Paul said over in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, desire the spiritual gifts. And especially that you prophesy. We should have people prophesying in church. That should not be silent in church. We need to have people prophesying in church. But we need people to understand what it means to prophesy. We need to have people understand how to prophesy, how that all works, how the gifts work. And so I would venture to say that many of us might be ignorant about how to do that. Now, we might say it this way because we don't want to be so rude as Paul was and say, we just don't know. We just don't know. And that sounds a little better than, I guess I'm ignorant. But it means the same thing. So, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So, we need to delve into some of this stuff so that we do understand what this is all about. And see, if we take it in the context of the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters, Paul was telling us who we are in Christ Jesus. Who we are in Christ Jesus. And now he's telling us how to live this out. And there's some areas that you know what? We may have heard before, but we don't know what that means. How do I do that? How do I know I'm adopted into the family of God? How do I know that I'm a child of the living God? How do I know that I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit? How do I know that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? How do I know that I have been crucified with Christ and now I live for Jesus? How do I know this stuff? I can read it, but how do I get it down here? We need to learn the voice of the Spirit of God. We need to know what the Spirit is teaching us. The problem is when we get to a subject we might not understand, since I've been talking about spiritual gifts, okay? If we get to an area like that, a lot of people in churches today, not just this church, but a lot of churches, they just kind of, I don't know if we should go there. That gets kind of crazy sometimes, so we just don't go there. That's considered a hard heart. Paul said in Ephesians, he says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. Because we haven't been willing to go there. We haven't been willing to talk about that. We haven't been willing to step out and say, you know what, I think I have a word from God today. I want to just share a little bit. It doesn't have to be this up banging on the stand and saying, thus saith the Lord. You just have to share God's heart. And if you go into 1 Corinthians 14, it says that a prophecy is a word of edification, exhortation, and comfort. That needs to be in the church. That needs to be here amongst the body of Christ. There's a lot of stuff we could go into on that. We don't have time to do that today, but maybe some point we will go into that. But this morning, I want to encourage you not to run away from the things you don't know. Because when we do that, our hearts get hard. And I would venture to say that in the church today, most of us have been saved quite a while. And we've probably fallen into our comfortable little ruts. And what I mean by that is, okay, I don't understand that, so I'm not going to go over there. I'm going to stay over here. I understand this. I'm not going to talk about all that spiritual gift stuff, but talk to me about salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. I know that verse. And that's good. But see, when we don't kind of get over here to maybe some things we don't know, we end up developing this spiritual blindness or maybe pride in our heart that hardens our heart to when somebody does bring up the gifts of the Holy Spirit, oh, you can't do that. And then we begin to go contrary to what the Word says. And so God wants us not to have a hard heart. And so I need to learn. I need to be open to what God says. When Paul says, desire earnestly the spiritual gifts. Desire earnestly. Then we need to do that. We need to pursue that. Even if we might not understand it, well, let's figure it out then. Let's find somebody that does know what it's all about, and then we can begin to practice. Practice. Somebody in one of our classes in school, they said, we're going to practice now. They talked about the Holy Spirit. They said, okay, now we're going to practice. And at first I was like, you can't do that. Well, how do you learn something? By doing it. You practice it. So you do it. We had a Bible study a few years ago on the gifts of the Spirit. And we heard the teaching and read the scriptures. And then we practiced. Then we broke up into groups and we practiced. We practiced the gifts. That's how you learn. But see, when you're afraid to do that, then your heart gets hard. And you're not willing to do that. And so we have to be careful when we're dealing with all this stuff. Because you know what? God wants us to grow, but the enemy doesn't want us to understand these things. The enemy wants to keep us in our little box. We can't go there. Don't do that. You never know what's going to happen. You know, hardness in our heart develops an insensitive heart to God. A hardness in our heart develops an insensitiveness to God. And that insensitiveness keeps us from even hearing the voice of God when he says, I want to do this. I want you to do this. You see, the thing I in studying this, I've been thinking about all this, and it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, above all else, guard your heart. Have you specifically worked at guarding your heart this week? Do we allow things into our heart and in our mind by what we watch, what we read, what we hear, that are contrary to the Word of God? Bring every thought captive that is against the knowledge of God. So when I'm sitting there watching a sitcom and they're glorifying all this lifestyle that is opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, how can that be beneficial to me? How can that be beneficial to my heart? I need to guard my heart. I need to guard my heart. Above all else, he says, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Pretty impressive. That heart. Now, what he's talking about is your heart. Is guard your way you're thinking. Guard that heart. Guard that process that you're living your life in the way you think. Guard it. Because God says, by his stripes we were healed. We read that scripture earlier. The world says, no, you're going to have this the rest of your life. Who am I going to believe? Guard your heart, because out of it flows everything you do. Then over in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, do we have it up there? All right, everyone read this one. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, okay, so those who live according to the flesh. Now, let me define your flesh. Your flesh is your five senses. Your five senses. See, hear, taste, smell, and touch. Your five senses. That's what we live by. That's the way the world lives. If they can't see it, they don't believe it, right? If they can't touch it, they can't believe it. If they don't hear it, they won't believe it. They live according to their senses, their five senses. And this scripture is telling us that we are not to live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It says in verse 14 of chapter 8, he says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God or sons of God. Depends on what version. Do you know the Spirit's voice? Do you know how to be led by the Spirit and not your senses? Oh, but it feels so good. It feels so good. I just think we should do this. That would be so much fun. My question is not whether or not that would be fun. Not whether or not that would agree with everybody else. My question to you today, is that what the Spirit is saying? Is that what the Spirit is saying? And if we can't answer a yes, then my question is, did you hear the Spirit of God, or are you following your flesh? Are you just following your flesh? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. If you are just following your five senses, I would question you whether or not you heard God. If all you can tell me is, well, everybody does that. That's just what you do. I mean, look how fun it is. Look how good it is. No, did you hear God? Is the question. Don't tell me about all these other things. Because Jesus said in his teaching over in Matthew, he says that in the last days, even false prophets are going to do signs and wonders. You cannot walk by sight. You have to walk by faith. We have to walk by faith. We have to have our faith grounded in the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Not just going by your feelings. Not just going by what it feels good to do. Now, I hope I'm not condemning anybody. I want to challenge you to walk by the Spirit. I had somebody this morning in the first service over in Odessa say, well, I guess I'm going to just take my hard heart and go home. I'm thinking, I hope that's not what you got out of that. Because my heart for you is to hear the Spirit of God, to be led by the Spirit of God. Be led by the Spirit of God. Train yourself to hear the Spirit of God. Train yourself to know what the Spirit is saying and how the Spirit wants you to be led, so you can follow that and not your physical five senses. Because when we get into those physical five senses, we're going to be led off track. We're going to be led this way or that way. And pretty soon we end up with a hard heart. And we're not sensitive. And so then when we do want to hear God on Sunday morning, when we come to church, oh God, I want to hear you. And we've been hardening our heart all week. How does that work? We have to really focus on training ourselves to have a sensitive heart to the Spirit. Have a sensitive heart to the Spirit. I want you to put Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through 32 back up there, Bill. Can you do that? All right. 25, and we're going to start reading this. I want you to read this together. We read it already. I read it to you, but I want you to read it to me this time. All right? So you're not just listening to me. I want you to hear you say what the Word says. All right? So verse 25 says, therefore, let's keep going. All right. We could spend a lot of time and talk about that, but the one verse I want you to hear is 30. And it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit, the one we're supposed to follow, the one that we're supposed to be following after. Those who are sons of God will follow the Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So I want to close this morning by challenging you to train yourself in your mind. I asked Lisa this week, she's not here to verify it, but I asked her, how do you train your mind not to think bad thoughts? That would be a good question for your starting up lunch this afternoon. As you sit down to lunch, ask whoever you're eating with, how do you do that? How do you train your mind not to think bad thoughts, evil thoughts? So, and how do you do that? How do you stop them when they start? Oh, yeah, we can come up with all kinds of religious terms and things, but no, practically, what do you do? What do you do? How do you do it? Okay, so you start putting other things in your mind rather than those thoughts. Does it work every time? So those are some questions that we need to practice. We need to practice controlling our thoughts, bringing every thought captive that opposes the Word of God. And that's a serious thing, because think about the Word of God covers everything that you and I are ever going to face. So when you're talking about your finances and you start going, oh, we're not going to have enough this week. We might not have groceries. Look at how bad the economy's getting, and we just go down this rabbit trail of negativity, but God says He'll supply our needs. So who am I going to believe? And am I going to be led by the Spirit of God? Which means that I'm not going to go negative. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. I need to stand on the Word of God. I got this ache and pain. Oh man, it's going to be bad. I've never had one of these before. And so we start going down that rabbit hole, and we forget that He says in His Word that He heals all of our sicknesses and all of our diseases. One of His names is the Great Physician. Has He changed His name? Does it say anywhere in the Bible that He changed His name from the Great Physician to maybe once in a while? No, it's every time. So, I want to encourage you this week to challenge your thinking, challenge your thoughts, because you're going to have some negative thoughts. Kenneth E. Hagin said it this way. He says, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest. So, you can't stop all negative thoughts, but you can keep them from taking hold of your mind. And then that's all you're thinking about all morning. You're worried about this or that. You're thinking about this or that. No, we need to learn to cast our care upon Him, for He cares for us. He's going to take care of us no matter what. And so, this week, go to work, go to practice, and start training your thoughts. And maybe it's like Dee Dee was saying, maybe you have to just turn on Christian music or start singing some of our worship songs or quoting scripture. Challenge yourself when you're really getting low. Start quoting as many scriptures as you can think of. Just start quoting scripture. Start Start singing songs that maybe you haven't sang in a long time. I'm always asking Lisa, how does that song go? And I'll sing part of it, and then she'll sing part of it, and then we both go, I don't know. We'll have to look that one up. You know, but it's a matter of training our thoughts to think good things. Paul tells us to think on these things, whatever is lovely and pure. We need to think about those things.